Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're pleased to have you join us tonight. We have Anne with us. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Robin. Hi, everyone.
We have Karen, whose daughter-in-law had a little baby girl this morning. Congratulations and hello, Karen.
Hello, and thank you, and welcome everybody.
And we have Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
Not the least either.
And of course we have you.
And yes, we have me. Tonight, moving along and forward in the study, Walking in the Spirit, we are going to look at the gift of faith, which, as we know in 1 Corinthians 12, that these are specific gifts given unto the body individually to profit the body, to profit with all is how it is put. So tonight we're going to take a look at the gift of faith, which is different than the measure of faith which every man is given of God, and that we each are called to exercise by faith in his word. But the gift of faith is, and I'm reading right from this teaching, it is the supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief, and reasoning. So before we move into the scriptures noted here, do any of you have anything to say on this subject?
No, not me.
Okay. The very first scripture is Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, and we're going to go back and forth between Karen and Megan. So, Karen, would you start us off?
Yes. Ask and it, whoops, let's see, am I in the right place? Matthew 7, 7.
Yes.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, excuse me, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
So, you know, in thinking about this Bible study and, you know, the difference between the gift of faith and the measure of faith, here we see an example, a simple example and a simple commandment of the Lord, because he doesn't say if you'd like to or if you feel like it. He just says ask. And it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And it goes on down. For everyone that asketh shall everyone that asketh receiveth. Now, when you think about it, how much we walk in unbelief for something as simple as what we just read. We ask, and we don't believe. We seek, but because we're not seeking by faith, we don't find it. And the same thing with knocking, you know, we'll exercise ourselves in these things, but then we stand up and we move forward in unbelief, and that which the Lord gives then unto us when we ask, we don't receive. That which the Lord has for us to find when we seek, we don't receive. And that which the Lord opens unto us when we knock, we don't receive. And he goes down then and he gives a comparison, you know. What man, if his son asked bread, would give him a stone? We, being evil, give good gifts unto our children. How much more our Heavenly Father, who is good and is his word is true, gives good gifts. And so here we see an opportunity and an example of the simplicity of faith. And we're going to read a few others, but here we can also see that distinction, because the gift of faith does it. Exercising ourselves using that measure of faith to believe God is something that we war to do and hopefully are growing in, that we do it, that we're doing it and believing as we do. And we know that grace is there because we need it when we stumble and fall and screw up and don't receive and all this stuff. But it's not there to hang out and be there. It's there so we can press on, that we might in fact come into obedience to the Word of God and this Word that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, Robin, I was talking to someone this week and they mentioned to me that they got to thinking about scriptures like this, ask and you shall receive, and that they realized they didn't ask the Lord for, you know, if something big came up, they would immediately go and pray and ask the Lord to take care of it or to provide whatever the need was. But for the little things that they dealt with through the day, they never thought to ask the Lord. He doesn't limit the size of what we ask for. He doesn't say, ask only for the large things that affect your life. He doesn't limit that.
Yeah.
And it was like an eye-opener to her that, okay, maybe it's help becoming more organized or something along that line. Never realized that she was not asking the Lord and expecting an answer.
Yeah. You know, the walk of faith, I think a lot about where it says, let patience have its perfect work, because it does take patience to allow the Word of God to dwell richly. And I know Dave, I think it was Davey's sermon this past week on, gosh, I forget, maybe it was the week before, on Psalm 105, and how, you know, we can speak of the wonderful works of God, but God, and that's good, and we do, but we need to also do them. And that's something we have to press toward to have accomplished. And you know, when you look at Mark 16, where it says, these signs shall follow them that believe, when we then look at ourselves and don't necessarily see those signs, and I'm not saying that just because we don't see things that that means they're not there, but it shows unbelief, and that is something then we have to, instead of just, you know, kind of have a pity party or think that we can't do it or whatever we might think, God calls us to believe Him and to learn to stand in Him by that grace and that mercy that the blood of the Lamb has bought for us. And, you know, to exercise ourselves with that measure of faith, that we might be in that category of these signs shall follow. And that's that category of believers who do the Word of God, not just know it. But we have to also be gracious unto ourselves, even as we need to be gracious with one another.
You know, I have... I remember more to pray for other people than I do to pray for something that I'm in need of. And sometimes it's just, it's easier to think that somehow that the Lord will, you know, I don't know, bless somebody else or something like that than that He will for you, which is just completely a lie. So if you ever find yourself thinking that, as I have, don't go down that. Ask, and it shall be given you.
I think most of us have gone through that. I know I have, and that, you know, I could pray for other people and expect God to answer, but I wouldn't pray for myself. And that's one thing I've learned over the years. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. It's not wrong to ask the Lord to bless you in whatever you need. And I know a lot of mothers out here homeschool, And they put all the burden on themselves to come up with stuff to teach their children. It's not wrong to ask the Lord to lead you in what you should be teaching them. You know, what curriculum to use or what unit study to do or whatever. It's not wrong to ask that. But all of us at one time or another have felt we couldn't ask for things for ourselves. And that's wrong thinking.
Well, the one thing that kind of strikes me in that is when it's personal, you have to have the faith to receive. You know what I'm saying? You ask.
To believe.
You receive. Yeah.
Amen to that.
And we can get caught up in all sorts of reasons why we don't receive. And one of them oftentimes is we just don't really make the choice to trust God that we will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, receiving has to be something that we learn to do. I mean, it's something that we have to do. He'll give us all these good gifts if we will receive them.
Amen. He wants to.
Yeah, he won't force it on us. He's a gentleman.
That's right. He's not going to make us receive something. We have to reach out there our hand and receive it.
Well, you know, something that was really a blessing to me to hear, and it's Megan, I know you won't be offended that I'll use you as the example, because I was present when the answer came to you, and it was an answer that came to me too, because I mean, I did the same thing you were describing, and that's when you went and had asked the Lord, maybe you should tell it about Dr. Knowlton, because you'll give it more correctly. Do you know what I'm talking about, when you prayed that you would
minister to him?
Yeah.
According to the way the Lord wanted. And when we spoke about the Lord, we always do. And after I left, excuse me, I was beating myself up a little about the fact that I should have been harder. Our conversation was so gentle and so almost, I don't know that timid is the right word, but so soft and whatnot. And so I was beating myself up over the fact that I hadn't heard the Lord and I missed it. And when I brought that up to Davey a few days later, he corrected me and told me that I was judging the Lord because I had prayed. And I knew at the time that I really, as I was praying, I was putting my trust in the Lord to do so. It's one of the occasions that I actually clearly remember specifically doing that, you know. And so I didn't. I wasn't judging the Lord. I was judging myself and my hearing. And Debbie said, no, you're judging the Lord. And that's exactly what I was doing. That I was somehow thinking that God wasn't big enough to use me as he would have me minister, when that was my desire. And that was a good correction to hear, and one that I don't think anyone who's listening, who's listened for any period of time, has not heard before.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was good for me to hear, because it has been, or certainly in the past, was my habit to always judge me as myself as lacking. And yet that was unbelief, and it was very distinctly stated and helped me. And I know just, of course, I've been away for, I don't know, now 6 weeks or something. And it's kind of interesting, because on the one hand, I can say that I have stood. On the other hand, I will not presume to say I have done absolutely everything right. Two different things.
Sure.
And yet, I have not faltered in the grace that I stand in, notwithstanding the knowledge that I had to continue to press on and stand stronger. And I can but say that I have not faltered in that grace. It's been, well, praise God. I mean, because I've stood. When you falter in the grace, you fall. When you stand by grace, you stand. You know what I'm saying? It's that grace is there, and it's not because I never make a mistake. I don't know what to say past that, but
you asked, Rob, and the Lord has answered your prayer.
But I've also stood in the fact that He has.
Yes.
And sometimes I have to remind myself, and of course I've had counsel and prayer from Davey and Steve, and so I'll sometimes remind myself and the Lord that that which has been spoken or prayed and stand in agreement with. And I mean, I don't mean to presume that, but it hasn't been a big belabored point, you know what I'm saying? It just is the truth. But
you know, one other thing quickly on this verse that we just read, the first one, it starts with a command.
Yeah.
Ask. There we go. You know, as Ann said, it doesn't qualify. It doesn't say too big, too small. Not for you. You're unworthy. You've had enough. There's no, to ask. You do need to ask believing, which comes up, you know, elsewhere as well as here. But we have to ask.
Yeah. You know, I'm reading the chat, and Sue, just read some of it. It goes, isn't it a sense of thinking yourself unworthy, which then means you think at some point you could be worthy of asking His help. It can also be a sense of I can handle the small stuff, which is not true. We cannot do anything without Him. And, you know, the one thing Davey said, and Ann, I mean, gosh, you knew this, we all know this, he'll say he doesn't necessarily have these big, long prayers, you know, 3 hours in the morning or something, but he doesn't go like 5 minutes without praying. And that testimony shows his recognition that he is always in need of the Lord, and His wisdom and His grace and His love and all that he needs to stand and move, and serve Him in a day. And, you know, when you come to the place where not only do you get past you, where what Sue is describing is all about you, you know, I'm either unworthy or I'm worthy. Neither are true, and they're both about you. to the place where the fact that you have a need, but there's a God who has reconciled you to Him and is there to provide that need. You know, that's that place that Davey always described, and Ann or Megan or Karen, you may do it better than me, about that horse, that spirited horse, and how slowly as it's broke, it comes close to that master and resides there. I know I didn't say it very well, but and that's that place where we become the thermostat, not the thermometer, where the fact that we need our God, but that He is available in, and He supplies all our needs. And when you think about that, He supplies our need for mercy. He supplies our need for grace. He supplies our need for wisdom. He supplies our need for love. He supplies our need for strength. He supplies it all. And we need it all. And His call is for us to depend upon that and to let Him and to receive it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to get off the fact that this is a Bible study on that gift of faith. And I guess I'm just going to say it right here lest it gets forgotten or gets lost. I spent decades not walking by faith. I knew the Word of God. I won't say I knew the gospel, because when you know the gospel, you're walking by faith. You can know what the gospel is, but to know the gospel is, you only know it by faith. And it wasn't that I didn't want to know it. It wasn't that. I just didn't. And yet there was a man who, with that exercise, that gift of faith, and all the gifts of the Spirit, on mine and really everybody else's behalf throughout that entire time, and still does for me. But the nice thing, and I know it is a blessing to him, is that now I've begun to stand and use that measure of faith God gave me to believe in. And that man, of course, is Davey, who, had he grown or submitted to the weariness that I am certain he experienced. But you see, he had that gift of faith that stood, notwithstanding the fact that he stood all by himself amongst a disbelieving and gainsaying people, and yet would not be moved. And there are those of us, including us four, that are the fruit of that exercise of that gift. And when the Apostle Paul spoke about how, you know, I forget exactly how he put it, but that grace worked exceedingly in him, it was that same kind of thing where Paul would not be moved, and yet he was but a man, and was subject to the very same feelings and emotions and angers and frustrations and failures and successes and everything that we're subject to, not subject, experience, and yet he wasn't subject to them. And he stood while I got to the place where I could begin to not be subject either. And that place is called faith. And those people who had that gift of faith, they exercise it on behalf of others and make up that difference until that person or those others come unto like faith. Or we'll read the story about when the one man said, "Help thou my, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief," for Jesus just stood in the gap and took care of it, period. And I know there are those out there listening right now who have not yet come to believe the gospel. They know the gospel. They want to believe the gospel. And hang in there, you know what I mean? But I know that there's some that have not yet, and we're all in different places in that, but have not yet believed it. Anyways, did you guys have anything before we move to the next verse? Verse number two in this study?
Not me.
Not me, Robin.
And some of these we're going to see are really the same verse, but in other Gospels. So the next one we were just on, Matthew 7, is Matthew 6. And if I say the wrong scripture, please correct me, because I'm having a hard time with these glasses reading well. But it's Matthew 6:25.
"Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?"
Megan, if you would just read 24 and then 25 again, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?"
So, you know, Megan, as you've clearly stated on the other verse, this is a commandment. This isn't a, you know, you don't have to. This is what faith requires. And when you look at it and you compare this verse to yourself, you can see that we have some room to grow, don't we? And in that exercise of our faith and trust in the Lord for everything we need. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it." It's a commandment. This is the walk in the Lord, how we have to learn to walk by faith. And we have to recognize by faith that this is what God said. And I had to read verse 24 because it clearly says you can't serve two masters. If we want to serve God, we have to come into obedience to his word by faith. We know he's a good God. We know he takes care of us. He know he will supply all of our needs. Therefore, we can obey him.
You know, a little further down, you see the verse everybody probably knows. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's referring to the what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, and what ye shall put on. Those things, the Lord takes care of you in that sense. If you're serving him, you need those things in order to survive in this world, you know, for your body to continue to function. You need to be appropriately dressed for the weather, and you need to have the fuel to keep going, the food and liquids and whatnot. So seek first his kingdom, and he takes care of everything else.
Yeah.
The things you need. And sometimes the things you want to.
Yes. Actually, a lot, doesn't he?
Yes, you're right.
We all live wonderfully blessed by God.
Yes.
It reminds me of that verse, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart," which is Psalm 37:4, I think.
True, Karen.
But if you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart.
Amen. The next one is Luke 11, and if, Karen, you would read verses 9 through 13.
Okay. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?"
Amen. I think it was on Sunday that Davey spoke about, you know, kind of, it reminds me where he addresses some of this stuff, so I suggest people make sure they listen to his sermon this past Sunday. But this, of course, is very similar to the first scripture, with the addition of, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" So if you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, ask. The next one is Luke 18, verse 1. Probably go down from there, Megan.
"And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?"
Yeah. I wanted you to get down to that very last verse that you read, because 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." We have a great cloud of witnesses, both in the present and in the Word of God, that shows men that stood through long-term experiences that would dissuade and did dissuade lesser men. Joseph, Moses, Abraham, Noah, I mean, David, there's no man or woman of God that we read about that did not stand, notwithstanding what was going on, that would have suggested something different than that which the Word of God said, and yet they believed God notwithstanding. And that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Whoops. I'm using my little iPhone. And that is, be weary, to fail in heart. And yet, will he find faith on the earth? Well, we want that answer to be yes. And it's up to us to have that faith, right? So the next one, and this is a parenthetical, Paul had faith to withstand the deadly bite of a viper, and this is found in Acts 28. And in 27, and I think we actually read that last week, but certainly we're all familiar with when Paul was on the boat that was about ready to be cast and broken up at sea and everybody lost, and he stood up and, you know, spoke the word of the Lord that God had given him, because God had said, you know, fear not, Paul, I've given you all these men, you'll make it. And Paul stood up and spoke it and said, I believe God. And, you know, they moved forward and in fact did land on the island of, I think it's Malta or something, but we'll read it. It's in Acts 28, which I think is the last chapter of Acts, verses 1-5.
And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people shewed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm.
Now, and I'm going to be interested in your all's thoughts and conversation, because Megan had pointed out earlier, a bit of time ago, that in Mark 16, he gave power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the devil. And here we, in fact, see Paul being completely unharmed and just not even moved by the bite of a poisonous snake that should have killed him. And I guess the thing, and again, that difference between that measure of faith and the gift of faith, this is an display of that gift of faith that Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, with all the gifts of the Spirit, exercised. And Paul joined with it, and he did it, and he exercised it. But it is also that which we can take our measure of faith, because God has given each of us enough faith to believe everything he said and to do everything he commands in accordance with our will. He has not given us too little. He has given us that which we need to do his will and to believe him. And if we will, then we likewise, by that exercise of where we put our faith in coming into agreement with God and not being dissuaded, we too will do these things. So I open that up, Anne and Megan and Karen. Remember how in Ephesians where Paul talks about till we all come unto the unity of the faith. And that's what, you know, and these gifts are to profit the body for that. It's part of that coming to that place that is spoken about in Ephesians that Paul talks about.
And that gift of faith that Paul was given was to profit others.
That's right. Part of the profit is they profited immediately, but part of the profit is you saw Timothy, you saw Silas, you saw Luke, you saw these people and others, the Thessalonians, Priscilla and Aquila, different faithful people who stuck by and adhered to Paul and heard the word and discipled under him that they might be of like faith. And that is the call that God has on us. And we know this. A lot of people don't know this, but we know it. We best be actually doing it. It's really part of that seek ye first the kingdom of God. It is through discipleship. It is through that close contact and conversation and obedience to those who have the rule over us that we will come to like faith.
The other thing with Paul in this particular instance is, you know, having the measure of faith for the body, his life wasn't over yet. So, and the Lord still had work for him to do. And so the snake wasn't going to be the thing that ended his life.
And you know, one of the beautiful things, though, is the Lord gave Paul, I think I'm going back to chapter 27 there, the other people on that boat. I mean, uh-huh. You know, Paul had, it wasn't his time. But the Lord, in that mercy and grace that was extended to all the people, and if you read, I think it's verse 6 of chapter 28, you see the chief of the island, Paul heals a member of his household. I mean, this, the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached throughout all of this, and that mercy extended to every one of those people that was with Paul there. It's verse 24 of Acts 27 saying, this is what God said to Paul, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." God didn't have to do that, but see, God is love. Paul was on a ship with a bunch of unbelievers, you know what I mean? I mean, they wanted to kill the prisoners lest they escape, you know? And some were going to go save themselves, not caring about others. And yet, here you see the love of God that Paul stood in for all of them.
We also see these barbarians see the power of the Lord and invite them to stay.
So one thing, too, when you were talking about all the people on the ship, in verse 37, it tells you there was 276 souls on that ship, and not one was lost. And to me, it was because of the faith of Paul.
Where it says in verse 25, right after you read, Robin, where the men were all given he says, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be good of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me."
And that's
so,
that exercise of the gift of faith.
There it is.
Yeah. And he was standing on behalf of others, making up that difference, because they didn't have that faith. But they were saved by his faith. What they did with that, of course, we don't know. Kind of like what I was saying about myself, you know, I got to continue to press on and do with it that which will bring eternal life in the end to me and hopefully to others. Let's see if we can get through some of these other ones now. So Romans 4, verse 16 and 17. And I think it's you.
Oh, that's
here.
Me.
Oh, it's you.
Yes.
Okay.
Just getting there. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. You know, when you stop and think about this, if it was anything else but faith in the grace and mercy of God purchased for us on the cross by Jesus Christ, then it wouldn't be sure, because it would be dependent upon something that we would have to do and stand in and never fall short of. But when it's a dependence upon God and a faith in him which expresses itself through obedience and coming into agreement and adherence with his word, through trust of him, through faith in him, through, as it says with Abraham, he believed God, and it was that that by that that Abraham was accounted righteous, not by any other thing. But we see in Abraham's life the expression of that faith in action time and time again. And that's, it has to be, faith is something that will be visible by our actions, whether we believe or whether we don't. And it's not because we don't make mistakes, fall short, have to repent, and all of that stuff. But if we walk by, what does it say here? Therefore it is by, it is of faith that it might be by grace. This is that gospel of grace that we stand in, and that Peter says, hope to the end for the grace. It is our hope. And we move forward and stand and learn to walk in obedience because of it.
I'd like to, if we could read 20 and 21 in this chapter.
Do you want to read it, Anne?
I can. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Sorry about that. My door blew open. But he did not doubt God's promise through unbelief, but he was strong in the faith, and he gave glory to God, and he had faith that what God had promised would be fulfilled. And that's where we need to be. We can't be staggered by unbelief. We can't doubt because of unbelief. We have to have faith. And you have to be strong in that faith.
And it's important to note, lest anybody get a false picture, that Abraham didn't stand in his own righteousness. Abraham didn't think he was righteous. He was a man, but he stood because he believed the word of God. And the biggest thing I think, and it's displayed in each of us in different ways, is to get over that sense that we have to be, that there has to be some righteousness in us, like our flesh, you know, what we would call us, rather than a total and complete thanksgiving for the righteousness offered by Jesus Christ. That's what Abraham stood in. And his own unrighteousness did not move him. It's important. So, Karen, the next one is James 1, 5 through 8. Familiar scripture.
Okay. Starting with 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yeah. So here we have ask and ye shall receive. And it's not based on our deservedness, because it says, and abradeth not. There's nothing in here that says, if you've done everything right and have been a good little girl or boy, you can come to God, and maybe he'll give you a treat. You know what I'm saying?
Praise the Lord, it's not like that.
Yeah. But we do have to be ready. We do have to believe. We do have to receive and stand in that answer. Look for it. Anticipate it. Did any of you have anything before we move on? Because we only have like 12 minutes here now.
I don't.
The next one is Matthew 17:20, Megan.
Working on it.
Well, I want it. I'm glad you said that, because Sue, I know you're listening. Notice there's no page turnings, because I'm using my online Bible. So I'm already there.
And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Now, do we believe that? It's a good question, isn't it? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and we know that mustard seed faith doesn't give up. It knows there is that sun, and it presses on till it breaks through and sees it. Period. And if we will exercise our faith like that, nothing is impossible to us. If we'll take the word of God and believe even a scripture as simple as Matthew 17:20, that will be well pleasing to God. So the next one is Matthew 21:22.
And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Wow. It's pretty simple. And we saw people stand in that kind of faith. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in today's time. And we're going to read a scripture that gives testimony to that in a minute. Mark 9:23.
Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Yes. And here's where, if you want to go down, we see where the
verse.
Lord, yeah.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
And read 25 too, please.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.
And it is that enter no more into him where Jesus stood in the gap for this man, and it was not required of him to stand in that gap for his child, because his confession was he had unbelief and asked the Lord's help, and the Lord answered. Ask and you shall receive. I know a few months ago, Davey in the sermon talked about help my unbelief. And I remember a few months before that, it was something I had wanted to pray, but thought it was a faithless prayer. So I didn't, but God didn't upbraid this man. The man was honest. He believed. But he didn't believe sufficient to stand, and he asked the Lord's help, and the Lord did that which was needful for the man. Mark 11:22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Should I go on?
You can.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
And that goes to ask and you shall receive. It goes to James 1:5-8.
Yeah.
Right?
And And in 24 it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and you shall have them.
Amen. Can you imagine the boldness and authority in which we will stand if we will do just this, rather than the wimpy shrinking back that we often do because of unbelief? And then we have Hebrews 11:6, another very well-known scripture. Megan.
Yes, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Seek and ye shall find. But you have to do it by faith. You have to know that when he said, seek and ye shall find, that in fact, you will.
Chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. And so I would encourage everyone to read that chapter, even if you've read it before. Read it again and look at the examples of faith that we have before us that we can learn from.
Amen. And actually go back and read the stories, right?
That's right.
And, okay, the next to the last one is Hebrews 12, next chapter, verses 1 through 3.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
It's kind of interesting, number 3, you know, because you can be sometimes in places where you're surrounded by unbelief. And for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, Jesus. You know, I'm in the bracket of sinners, not in the bracket of him, in a sense, if you know what I mean. And yet he calls me to stand in him and not grow weary or faint, even as Jesus did. And as Paul says there, gosh, you know, he even includes himself in this. And every witness that he raised up in Chapter 11 had to do just what he's saying here for us. They had to lay aside every weight. They and the sin that did so easily beset them, they did have to run with patience the race that was set before us. That is what faith requires. And it is the exercise of our faith. This is how we exercise it. We lay aside the weights. We lay aside the sin. We run with patience. We don't give up. We don't grow weary. We know our end if we will but believe and not give up and not doubt and not judge God, but believe him. And the last one is John 1:12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen. And now it's on us to take that and use it to become his sons and daughters, his children, his army, his body, his servants. He gave it to us. We each have it. Let's believe him and become the sons of God. Amen. And we have faithful people with the gift of faith who stand and have not given up on us. That's why we're still here, because of that grace and mercy that is extended unto us over and over again.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.